That is the sound of Widow's Peak and a song called Devil Knows. It is from their new album, Almanac, which was released this month. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, even in the age of Spotify, First Listen Streaming, SoundCloud, YouTube, and all of that stuff, actual albums are still produced by artists. Many of them actually have official release dates, and that's when they become available to the masses, whether that's through iTunes or if you can find one, a record store or a CD store. In fact, this Widow's Peak album is just one of literally scores of records that dropped this month. And as this month comes to a close, the first month of the year, we're going to officially dub today New Music Thursday. And I've got the Boston Globe's Sarah Rodman with me in the studio. She's a pop music and TV critic for them. We're going to talk through some of her favorite records that came out this month and give you a sense of what you can find in the iTunes store or wherever it is that you get music that's new out there right now. Welcome.
Why, thanks.
Thanks for coming back here on Boston Public Radio.
Absolutely. You couldn't scare me. I'm back.
All right. Excellent. So it's true, right? I mean, records are coming out all the time still, even despite the fact that it sort of feels like, you know, it feels like it's not as much an event as it used to be anymore. And because fewer people are buying physical things, you sort of forget that there is a time and a place where this music actually becomes available. Right.
It feels like a much more amorphous thing now. I mean, there was a time when we used to sit out at midnight Monday nights to buy records at the record store. There would be a line.
Did you ever sit out for a record?
Well, I managed record stores,
so you'd manage the people sitting out.
And I mean, it was almost like, you know, waiting out for tickets. There was that same thing too. And so that whole culture has sort of sadly gone away. But certainly the upside is that now everything is available everywhere all the time at the touch of just a few buttons.
Yeah, it's true, but sometimes not available until that date. Why Tuesdays? You said Monday night because Tuesday's the official sort of release date for as long as I can remember for music albums. Why is that?
I believe that it originally had something to do with the way the Billboard charts worked. Mm. That because the albums were generally shipped on Monday, they were available on Monday. It was a shipping issue that there was no shipping over the weekend, so you would get the records on Monday. They would come out on Tuesday, and then Billboard's album chart would start calculating that day. And that's why you get the Billboard album chart on Wednesdays. So it's one full week of sales. Or it was.
In theory, one full week of sales. All right. Exactly. Good stuff. Well, do you want to listen to some music? Let's us about some of the stuff that came out this month.
So, what do you got? I have several things for you. One thing that I am really falling in love with the more I listen to it is this EP from Solange.
Nice. Very nice. So talk to us a little bit about who Solange is, because I think if people don't know who Solange is, they might know who Solange's sister is.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Solange is the little sister of Beyoncé. So this is obviously a family that's very interested in having different kinds of names for their children. So she's Solange Knowles, but she just goes by her first name. And she's put out actually several records, all of them to date pretty good, but very different from one another. Her last record came out in 2008, and it was sort of in the retro soul Duffy Amy Winehouse mold. But this new EP, which is called True, which came out earlier this month, is more sort of like an 80s synthy throwback. So it seems like she's absolutely interested in the past, regardless of what she's doing. but she's good. And she definitely, you know, she's making her own mark each time she makes a record. And this record, because she has moved from a major label to an indie label and is trying something a little bit different sound-wise, she's making a little more buzz for herself.
Let's listen to a little bit. We have one of the tracks from this EP, which is called Losing You. We're going to listen to a little bit of this right now. This is Solange.
Tell me the truth, boy.
Good.
Yeah.
You nail it with the 80s synth. I mean, it sounds like a Madonna song.
Well, it's got that sort of like borderline vibe. Yeah. Or maybe one of those girl groups or like Lisa and the Cult Jam.
Yes. You just said that. Lisa and the Cult Jam. You're the first person to say that on radio in like 11 years.
I know. Somewhere her ears just perked up. She's so happy, head to toe.
They still remember me. Exactly. So this is good. So she sounds like she is also very different than her sister in terms of both style and just kind of general aesthetic. Just to hear her voice, you wouldn't sort of pluck that out and be like, that sounds like it could be Beyonce, you know?
No, and she is yet to make a record. I think she is yet to make a record that sounds like, oh, I'm just sort of trying to ape what my sister is doing. And she's actually coming to town. She's playing The Paradise on February 19th.
Really? So February 19th. Mark your calendars, ladies and gentlemen, if you're interested in what you just heard, and you can get that. And all the stuff we're talking about, again, just to remind you, I've got Sarah Rodman with me. She's a pop music critic and TV critic for the Boston Globe. And we're talking through some of the albums that were released this month. So everything that we're talking about is available to you right now, either online or in a record store. So if you hear something you like, you can go out and get it. That's the idea here on New Music Thursday here on Boston Public Radio. All right. What else you got,
Sarah? Absolutely. And a good place to start, too, is the artist website. If you just go to Solange.com, it will lead you to wherever
you can get it. And every artist kind of has a different way of doing that, right?
Exactly.
So, good.
And the next up in the country world is Randy Houser. He has a new album out called How Country Feels. And at first I was thinking, does it feel like corduroy? What does it feel like, Randy?
What does country feel like?
But the point that he is actually making is more about the vibe, not the texture.
I see. So talk to us a little bit about Randy Houser and where he fits in the sort of overall country landscape right now.
So this record, he started out as a songwriter, as a lot of people in Nashville do. He actually co-wrote the famous Honky Tonk Badonkadonk for Trace Atkins.
A great rhyme.
A classic.
You can't think of anything to rhyme with Honky Tonk, just make up a word.
Exactly.
Badonkadonk.
And it has now entered our lexicon. Thanks, Randy. And so then he started releasing his own albums, and he's just one of these people that has a very classic country voice. He has a very sort of throwback Merle Haggard era kind of voice, but applying it to more of a southern rock, contemporary pop country sound.
All right, let's get a little taste of this. This is the title track from this record. So the record's called How Country Feels. This song, also called How Country Feels. You were raised on an asphalt farm. Ain't never heard a rooster crow. Never walked barefoot by a river. Felt the mud on your face and toes. You never rode in the hay. You never threw it in four-wheel. Climb up on in here, girl. Let me show you how country feels. Put your hair down, hair down. Get you some of this laid on the back. Kick your shoes off.
Speaking of the
80s. So there you go. Yeah. Again, it's sort of like a kind of like a big, powerful 80s song. I mean, country music definitely has, you know, crept over the last decade slowly toward a very mainstream rock and roll sound, right? I mean, everything still sort of has that country tinge to it. Like you said, he's got this very country voice. But that guitar riff is right out of any pop song of the 80s.
Right.
You know what I mean?
There's two kinds of country now that are basically based on 80s pop music. You've got the people who sound like John Mellencamp and the people who sound like Def Leppard, but with a country accent. And I mean, that's basically where rock and roll has gone. There are so many people that when you think about it, if they came out now, like Mellencamp would be considered a country artist if he came out now.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the things that we miss from that era have crept into Nashville. And, you know, it's working out really well for them.
And Nashville, you know, also doing really well in terms of sales. I mean, in terms of genres that are healthy, both in terms of vibrancy, I guess, right? But also economically healthy. Country music seems to be like the one. I mean, country music radio stations are still doing well. Country music record
number
sales
one
are still
format,
doing well.
It's the highest amount of actual physical album sales because you think about a lot of the people. You know, in the rest of the country, we have, you know, on the coast, I think, a very coastal-centric idea of the way things work. But people in the middle of the country are still going to Walmart and buying records on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
And country music is benefiting from that audience doing that.
All right.
And hopefully Randy will benefit from that as well. And he is playing, actually, next Friday at Rain in Malden, which is a country music venue that is actually celebrating its year anniversary with Randy's show.
Really?
Next Friday.
What's that venue like?
I have not been. Randy's going to be the first show that
Excellent.
I go to.
And you're a fan of his? Have been for a while? Or?
I have been. His first two records were a little more songwriterly. They were a little more thoughtful, for lack of a nicer way to put it.
Yeah, yeah.
This is more of a bid for country radio airplay.
Yeah.
But he's a good craftsman, and so, and you know, we all have mortgages to pay, so.
All right.
I don't begrudge him.
All right. I'm speaking with Sarah Rodman, pop music and TV critic for the Boston Globe. It is New Music Thursday. We're talking about some of the albums that came out this month that you can get your hands on. She's picking some favorites of hers among the scores and scores that came out this month. What else you got for us, Sarah?
So next up, we're going to reach back further than the 80s.
Okay.
To the new
to
Aaron
the 70s.
Epineau album.
Oh.
To the 60s or 50s, really.
Yeah, you're going way back now.
For his new album is called My True Story, and this is a sort of, it's a covers album, and for him, he chose these songs mostly from the doo-wop era.
Yeah.
Because these are the songs that he grew up on.
Yeah.
And I have to say, my initial sort of reaction to the idea of this was like, oh no, here's another legacy artist.
Rod Stewart
doing
coming
like
out doing Torchlight songs.
Just this
yet
filler
again.
Catalog.
Here he comes. He's going to be on The View. Barbara Walters is going to be crying.
Exactly. But the difference here is, and not to say, you know, not to besmirch Rod Stewart's passion, but there is something about Aaron Neville in this record that is incredibly passionate.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
very into it. These songs don't need to be remade.
Yeah.
But when he remakes them, they sound good.
I got to tell you, I've had this recent thing with Aaron Neville, right? I mean, I know Aaron Neville from probably through the 80s and his big hits then, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Right, with Linda right, Ronstadt.
Like that insane,
excellent
like his
impression.
Voice, which sounds kind of like an oboe and kind of like a human voice somewhere in between. But I've recently discovered all of his music from early in his career, this sort of Southern soul stuff where he was mm-hmm. working with people like Alan Toussaint and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's incredible. I have like become converted. I am an Aaron Neville fan at this moment. But let's hear a little bit of this from the new record. This, again, is title track, My True Story. This is the tune, My True Story. This is what Aaron Neville is sounding like right now. Totally working for me.
It's just so dreamy, right?
Yeah, totally working for me. I love doo-wop, though. You know what the other thing about Aaron Neville is? When you see this guy, he's huge. Like, you expect, you know, the voice, you don't really expect. I mean, this guy has got serious muscles.
Yeah, he is jacked.
He's
and he's got
guy.
That, like, nutty mole. He just looks really menacing. And then this beautiful, angelic voice issues forth. I said in my review, his voice to me, it's like being cuddled by a cloud. Like, it's just so lovely.
I'm in.
But if you are rediscovering old school Aaron Neville, the album that you need to get is called Yellow Moon by the Neville Brothers.
All right.
The stuff that he did with his brothers, actually in the 80s, I think that was Yellow Moon or early 90s maybe, is some beautiful, real New Orleans heritage stuff, but also has a really nice pop element to it that works to Aaron's strengths.
All right, there you go. All right, Sarah, we're running a little short on time, so maybe get into a couple more here.
Right.
So prioritize. What do you got that you really want to talk about?
Okay, I just want to talk about this because I loved Adam Ant.
Speaking of the 80s.
When I was a kid. And I love the name of his new album. It's Adam Ant is the Blue Black Hussar in Marrying the Gunner's Daughter. It's like he is hanging out with Fiona Apple.
Yes.
What does this mean?
What is a blue black hussar? What is a hussar?
I don't know what a hussar is. I'm not sure who the gunner's daughter is, but apparently he is marrying her.
Doesn't matter. And to follow up in the interesting titles thing, let's go with the track Cool Zombie.
Cool Zombie.
Let's hear a little. Blues feel here, not really the new wave Adam Ant that you know I've come to expect anyway.
It's funny because he lived in Tennessee for a few years, which is what this song actually is about. He was moving to Las Vegas. He stopped in Tennessee, liked it so much that he stayed.
All right.
And so this is sort of like a weird combination of that like Ant's Invasion sound where it's like the war cries and the repeated phrases but with like a sort of country backwater combination vibe. It's pretty strange, actually, but I kind of dig it.
Yeah.
And I saw him in October at Royale, mm-hmm. and it was great.
Killed it,
like,
huh?
With, like, the British military jacket and the Napoleon hat, like, the whole pirate thing. Like, he's had some very serious mental health struggles in the last 20 years.
As like, evidenced by his wardrobe.
Yes. Well, I think that was always the case, but like real, you know, institutionalization and that kind of thing. And it's really heartening to me to see him come back, his first new album in 17 years, and just really sort of giving his all to it. Yeah. And like sticking with the shtick and the puffy shirts and the dandy thing.
He's
like,
going for it.
God bless him, you know?
Yeah.
Why not? And then finally, the single, Justin Timberlake, to bring it, bring sexy back.
Yeah, bring sexy back again. It never left for him.
So the new song is Suit and Tie, and it features Jay-Z, and it's the preview for his new album that comes out on March 19th called The 2020 Experience. Now, a lot of people have been talking about this song. What do you think, Edgar?
I think it sounds like Off the Wall Michael Jackson. That's what it sounds like to me, this
song.
But
do you like it?
Let's listen, and then we'll talk.
Okay.
I can't wait till I get you on.
Okay, so here's what I would say. I think that it's a little too pastiche, you know. It's like too much on the nose from an era, and like I kind of like the melody. I like the idea that he's kind of like doing this, but I want what's happening, the blurbing and the blinging, and I want it to be more interesting. I don't know. It's like it's a fine vocal line, it's a fine vocal take, but it's kind of boring.
I completely agree. I think it's kind of a snooze,
right?
And he's not only is it a pastiche, but it's a pastiche he's already done.
Totally.
I mean, like this is he's retreading his own ground as well as the ground of the people that he's, you know, paying homage to. And I just feel like it's breezy and it's fun and it might be like a good summer soundtrack in the background of the barbecue song, but it's not the song.
Yeah. And it, like you said, he's combed over this territory already, right? Like you've got people now like who are doing pastiche or doing pastiche of like early 90s hip hop and like, you know, like it's sort of like the look back to the 70s thing has kind of had its day, even in pop music. You know what I'm saying? Like, it had its day in the 70s. It had its retro day already now, and he's kind of still doing it.
Right. He needs to get with the 80s, apparently. That is what
is happening. Well, that's where it is. He was just hanging out with Beyonce's sister. He would understand. Are you looking forward to the Super Bowl halftime show? Beyonce, you think she's going to lip sync?
I'm very nervous for her because the history of the Super Bowl is that the artists do lip sync.
Right.
I mean, I think the, you know, the last big one was that Bruce sang, but the E Street Band was not playing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's a history there of the, you know, of the anthem being lip sunk there and of people, you know, at least singing live to recorded tracks the halftime show, too. So I think she's probably going to do one song that's like super live just to make a point.
Yeah, just be like, I do know how to sing live, everybody. Hello, I can do
and
it.
And that's the thing, you know, about that whole brouhaha. It was still her voice. It's
totally.
Not like Milli Vanilli. Like, we know she can sing.
Totally. Totally. All right. Well, Sarah Rodman, new music Thursday. Thanks for being with us, going
Absolutely.
Through some of the stuff
Thank
that's
you.
Available. Sarah had more picks, which we're going to have on our website, wgbhnews.org. We're going out on a song that we wouldn't normally. This is a song called Om by Yo La Tengo, which is one of my picks for one of my favorite records that came out this month. They're a band from New Jersey. They've been around for a long time. This is their 14th studio album, and they're still killing it. They knock it out of the park every time. So this is a little of that to go out on as we welcome Callie Crossley back here into the studio. Callie, did you hear about some music? You gonna go out and get some?
I just like the name Yo La Tengo.
Right?
I just like that.
So they named themselves after what one of the outfielders for the Mets used to say, because he would say Yo La Tengo because the other two outfielders were Spanish, and that was what he would say when I've got the ball, I've got the ball. And that's what they're named after. This guy is a Mets fan.
I love
kind
it.
Kind of an odd fact there.
Okay.
Close the show, Callie.
All right. Thanks for listening to another edition of Boston Public Radio. You can find us on the web at wgbhnews.org/VPR. I'm Callie Crossley, and Yo La Tengo all afternoon.
You La Tengo all the time.